must say I'm thankful for those visiting with us tonight. And I must feel like I've got to preclude my message any time on Sunday night because it is from a portion of the Word of God that's rarely ever preached from. We are in the book of 1 Chronicles, which has name after name after name after name. In the first 10 chapters, there's about 1,200 names plus. In chapter 26, there's probably 90-some names, or at least that's how many porters there were. And chapter 26 of 1 Chronicles is where I'd like for you to turn to. And the first 12 verses talk about the porters. And then you have verses 13 through 19. It talks about the keepers of the gate, which are very similar to porters, but porters were more like keepers of the door. And then in verses 20 through 28, what you have is the Levites that are over the treasures in the temple. And then the closing verses in 29 through 32, you have different officers and judges that are mentioned. The primary purpose as far as porters was to serve as keepers. There are actually 93 different names that are mentioned. And in chapter 23 in verse 5, the Word of God tells us that there was a total of 4,000. And so what we look at first here is this division of these doorkeepers or these porters. They serve also as guards over the temple properties and over the furnishings that are in the temple. And the number of gates actually determined their shift and how many courses that they worked. It was not a most prominent job back in that day and time. If you just look at God's Word and you look at what the priests did and what the Levites did in other aspects, but it was still vital at some times. Let me remind you, over in 2 Chronicles 23, let me just read a little portion of Scripture and show you how important that position was. In verse 4 in chapter 23, it says, and this is the high priest talking, "This is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priest and of the Levites shall be the porters of the doors. And a third part shall be at the king's house. A third part at the gate of the foundation. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests. They that minister of the Levites, they shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord." Now here, what they were going to do, he was actually conspiring to put Joash on the throne. Athaliah was the queen, and if she heard news of it, it wouldn't have happened. So they had these gatekeepers, these porters at the door. They were sectioning off, guarding certain places that Josiah could come in and be king. So it was a very important portion of Scripture back in that particular period of time. You remember back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, there's another passage of Scripture that is very similar. And you remember in the Garden of Eden, you remember after Eve, she was deceived. She gave to her husband who just took it and just flat out sinned. And you remember God banished them out of the garden. And then down in verse 24, the Word of God says in chapter 3, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims," which are angels, "and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." In other words, it was guarded. Same type of principle here. These porters were guards at the temple, and they were positioned there to keep the temple, to keep certain ones from entering unlawfully. And if they entered, they'd be under the penalty of death. You remember what David said over in Psalm 84 and verse 10, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked." So it's not a position that's slighted. Listen to what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and down in verse 21, the Word of God says, "And Zechariah the son of Meshelemiah was porter of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Now I'll read that verse because follow with me in the first six verses in chapter 26 in 1 Chronicles. "Concerning the divisions of the porters of the Korahites was Meshelemiah the son of Korah. of the sons of Asaph. Of the sons of Meshelemiah, which is what we read back in chapter 9, were Zechariah the firstborn, Jediel the second, Zabadiah the third, Jathniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, Elioenai the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shimei the firstborn, Jehozabed the second, Joah the third, Sechar the fourth, Nathaniel the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peuthai the eighth, for God blessed him. That's talking about Obed-Edom that God had blessed. And unto Shemaiah his son were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor. These are porters that have assignments in the house of the Lord. Now we might wonder, why is God giving us all these names? Names many of us cannot pronounce. Many of y'all tell me that I do a good job pronouncing them. Well, I'm just following the word. And you can pronounce them too. And if you pronounce it wrong, I'll act like you're pronouncing it right. And you pronounce it good too then. But God's got a purpose for recording this in His Word. And if you think about doorkeepers, the first passage of Scripture that popped in my mind as we can relate to that is over in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, listen to what the Word of God says as Jesus is speaking. And He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens." That's the keeper of the door. "And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, is what we read in John 14. Here in John 10, he's telling us he is the door. He is the way. Here, the Word of God, as he goes on to explain, "All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." We have two of the great I am statements that Jesus makes in John chapter 10 right here. One, he says, "I am the door." The other one, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. And the sheep come to the door. And they hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus Christ laid his life down for his sheep. He is the door. He is the entrance. He is the only way there is to the Father. Look at what it says as we continue in 1 Chronicles chapter 26. In verses 6 through 8, the Word of God says, "Also unto Shemaiah his son were sons born that ruled throughout the house of their father, for they were mighty men of valor." This very simply means they were strong men. They were men of strength. The Word of God says, "The sons of Shemaiah, Othni and Raphael and Obed, Elzabad, whose brethren were strong men, Elihu and Semachiah. All these are the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom." Notice here, it emphasizes these sons of Obed-Edom were strong men. It says they were mighty men of valor. Now, why do you think they had to have strong men to be doorkeepers? You know what? It's in case they run across some unruly. I remember a young boy that was in my youth group years ago, and this was years ago. But this boy grew up to be a man. He's a police officer now. I'm not sure where he's at. I think he's over in Mount Sterling area. But this guy's about 6'7", 6'8", about 300 pounds. And he told me before, when he had gotten out of church for a while, and he went into wrestling, and he made a big deal of it, and he was climbing the ladder, and all you had to do is get fans involved. It's basically all he did, got everybody excited, so he was starting to make money. Well, his wife made him get out of that. After he got out of that, he started serving as a police, or as a bouncer. Now, a bouncer, you know what? If you're real big, they usually can calm things down just by their size. Unless the guy's been drinking, and drinking too much, and they can't understand the size of somebody like that. But he's serving as a police officer now, and he told me what he does when he goes, and when he gets calls, and there's unruly people, he very simply, all he has to do is just talk to them. They calm down. Because of his size, because of his strength, a very large man. Even so, these doorkeepers, they could take care very easily of anybody that would be causing problems. In verses 9 through 12, what you see are the gatekeepers. Now, these wouldn't be so much the porters like doorkeepers. They would be around the city as far as keeping different gates within the city. And notice what the Word of God says once again. And Meshelemiah had sons and brethren, strong men, 18. Also Hosa of the children of Merari had sons. Simri the chief, for though he was not the firstborn, yet his father made him the chief. Hilkiah the second, Tabaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brethren of Hosa were 13. Among these were the divisions of the porters, even among the chief men, having wards one against another to minister in the house of the Lord. Now here, when the Word of God is saying they had wards, that means they had duties. They had certain charges that they were to carry out, just the same as the other brethren. And the purpose was to minister or to serve in the house of the Lord. I want you to notice here, they all had different types of service as far as serving in the house of the Lord. God values all kinds of service that is unto Him. There is what you might say is spiritual service, and then there is that which is practical service. All the gatekeepers were valued. They were chosen by lots, is what it says in the very next verse. In other words, there was no prejudice in it. God was ultimately the one who chose, was going here or going there, going wherever to carry out their duties. What we look at this, no matter how you serve the Lord, if you serve Him spiritually or very practically in a small way, we think, and this is how some people look, that's not a good a service if you're doing things just practical and not doing spiritual service. But let me tell you something. All the way from the nursery workers, they are valued in God's sight. You know what? There is no task so small that God does not value. Those who go out and visit, those who go out and talk to others, put door hangers on doors, those who are teachers, those who maybe pick up a piece of trash off the floor or clean the church building, those who take care of needs within the church body, those who decorate. You know what? That might not seem like a big spiritual thing, but they're all of value when it comes to serving the Lord. Those who do financial work, those who pray. There's a lot of different things a lot of people do. Every one of us ought to be greeters. We all ought to greet everybody who comes within our church body. Those who are ushers, those who are the head usher, every position, everything that you do in service to the Lord, let me tell you, everyone is valued. I want you to notice in verses 13 through 19, a lot more names come up here. And this is how the lot was for each family. The lot is being cast. And notice what it says in verse 13. They cast lots. Now, in Proverbs 16:33, the Word of God tells us, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. When you cast lots for somebody to do certain things, that means you don't get to pick people who do whatever job. That means the lot is cast, and God is the one who determines who gets whatever position. They cast lots as well as the small and the great. Notice there is no difference. According to the house of their fathers for every gate. And the lot eastward fell to Shelemiah. Then for Zechariah his son, a wise counselor, they cast lots. And his lot came out northward, to Obed-Edom southward, to his sons the house of Asupam, to Shupam and Hosa. The lot came forth westward with the gate Shaleketh, by the causeway of the going up, ward against ward. Eastward were six Levites, northward four a day, southward four a day, and toward Asupam two and two. At Parbar, now this is an unusual word. I don't believe anybody really knows the meaning of Parbar. It's a particular section of the temple, but in our day and time, we don't know what Parbar is. At Parbar westward, four at the causeway, and two at Parbar. These are the divisions of the porters among the sons of Kore, among the sons of Moriah. In other words, this order was determined and the arrangement was determined just like the priests were. They cast lots for it. And ultimately, God is the deciding factor in that. There are so much emphasis here in God's Word upon the keepers and the gatekeepers, the doorkeepers, the porters, and the gatekeepers. You think about it. A doorkeeper guards what comes in. Same thing with a gatekeeper. If God puts such importance upon it to put it in His Word to where we've got it literally thousands of years later, God's got a purpose for putting doorkeepers in here, porters. If that is so important, how much more important that we keep our hearts with all diligence? Have you ever thought about what goes into your heart? What goes into your mind? The Word of God tells us in Psalms, the entrance of Thy Word gives light. You know what? When God's Word enters into our hearts, the light clicks on. Now, some people still in the dark. But when God's Word goes into the heart and the Spirit of God applies it to that person's life, somebody cuts on a light switch. There's people I talk to a lot of times, I wish their light switch would cut on. You know what I'm talking about. Here, we've got to guard our hearts. God has put a doorkeeper for our tongue. Have you noticed that? He's put two doorkeepers. There's your teeth. There's your lips. Guard your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil is what the Word of God tells us. Even so, how much more so of our heart? Think about your heart. What comes into your mind? The thoughts that come into your life daily. You know what? There's evil thoughts sometimes. There is sensual thoughts sometimes. You think about the thoughts that come through social media. There's foolish thoughts sometimes. Thoughts that come through movies. Thoughts that come through TV. Thoughts that come through talk shows. On the way to church this morning, I had the radio on and the sports talk show come on. And I thought to myself, I don't want to hear sports talk on the Lord's Day. I want to hear the Lord's talk. I want to hear the Word of God. And yet some people dedicate their whole life to the sports talk. That's all that's going in their mind. Sometimes it's only covetous thoughts, which leads to alienation from God. If you're a child of God, if you do not guard your heart, what it's going to seem like is that God is distant from you. How we need to be diligent in keeping our hearts. In verses 20 down through 32, there are other officers and judges that are mentioned. And notice here how many times it talks about dedicated things. They're over the dedicated things. In verse 20, it says, of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God and over the treasures of the dedicated things. As concerning the sons of Laadan, the sons of Gershonite, Laadan chief fathers, even Laadan the Gershonite, were Jehielah. The sons of Jehielah, Zetham and Joel his brother, which were over the treasures of the house of the Lord, of the Amramites, and the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzielites. And Shebuel, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was ruler of the treasures. And his brethren by Eliezer, Rehabiah his son, Jeshiah his son, Joram his son, Zichri his son, Shelomith his son, which Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasures of the dedicated things, which David the king and the chief fathers, captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the host had dedicated. Now all this come from, notice it says in verse 27, out of the spoils won in battles did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer and Saul the son of Kish. Now this is way before the time of David. And Abner the son of Ner and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated. And whosoever had dedicated anything, it was under the hand of Shelomith and of his brethren. All these things dedicated for the temple, for the house of the Lord. Of the Issacharites, Kenaina and his sons were of the outward business over Israel for officers and judges. And of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brethren, men of valor, 1,700 were officers among them of Israel, on this side Jordan westward in all the business of the Lord and in the service of the king. Among the Hebronites was Jerijah the chief, even among the Hebronites according to the generations of his father. In the 40th year of the reign of David they were sought for, and they were found among them mighty men of valor at Jazer of Gilead. And his brethren, men of valor, were 2,700 chief fathers, whom King David made rulers over the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the king. Here, these dedicated treasures, all these treasures, they had certain ones appointed to keep guard over. All these treasures came from the spoils of warfare. All the spoils of warfare, think about it, built that temple that Solomon built. In other words, it came through a lot of conflict, though Solomon didn't have to experience that. It came through a warfare that they collected everything to build the temple. Now you think about that. The Lord, in building his kind of church, is built from the spoils of warfare. You think about it, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he conquered sin and death upon the cross, triumphing over all the evil, the rulers and the principalities, and the Word of God tells us that he led captivity captive. In Colossians chapter 2, and down in verse 13 it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out or erasing out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross." All the laws that showed how we have sinned, Jesus Christ nailed them all to the cross. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." In other words, there is the victory march. Jesus Christ has won the victory by going to the cross, suffering, bleeding, and dying for our sins, being buried, and rising up from the dead. Here, I want you to notice one other passage of Scripture found over in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, listen to what the Word of God says in verse 4. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, that's Jesus Christ. And you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded, or will not be put to shame. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And unto you therefore which believe, the Word of God says, He is precious. Is Jesus Christ precious to you? But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. He becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Here the Word of God is clear. The treasures that built the temple came through conflict and warfare. The Lord Jesus Christ built His kind of church by spiritual warfare. And you are precious stones. You who are members of New Life Baptist Church, you're a precious stone in New Life Baptist Church. You know what? He places within the body whom He sees fit. Sometimes He takes away, but that's God at work. So thankful for how God has placed different ones in the body that He might build New Life Baptist Church. The question this all comes down to is what we just read in 1 Peter. Is He precious to you? Is Jesus Christ precious to you? If so, you are a believer. Or do you disallow Him? You don't want to hear the Word. You're disobedient unto the Word. Here, He becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who stumble at the Word. If you know not Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you haven't experienced the forgiveness of sins that comes through Christ, I pray you trust Him this evening. Put all your faith in His finished work that He died upon the cross for my sin. That He was buried, that He rose again. He lives today and He's coming again to judge this world, but He's going to call His people out first. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll sing a hymn of invitation. Our Father in heaven, we come to Your throne of grace once again. And Lord, sometimes in 1 Chronicles, those names are difficult. But we know You have a purpose and a plan for recording each and every name. And Lord, we know You have a purpose and a plan for each name recorded in the Book of Life. So we ask that You work effectually within our midst and work powerfully by convicting us of sin, by causing Your people to love more and more our Lord Jesus. May You become more and more precious as we learn of You. We ask that You guide us into all truth. For Christ's sake, amen. Let us sing Only Trust Him.